Again, we're thankful to have Brother Luke with us tonight. And we're going to give way to him here in just a moment to come. And I want to invite him to just take all the liberty that the Lord will give him and preach tonight the things that God has burdened his heart with. Thankful to have his family here this evening. And I was thinking while we were singing, I remember, actually I have real vivid memories of when Brother Luke's dad was the age that Luke is now. And it doesn't seem like that was very long ago at all. Brother Ronnie may say it wasn't, but it really doesn't seem like that was long ago. And sometimes I think we see things like that and we realize the reality of Scripture, that life really is a vapor. It really is short. And God blesses us, oftentimes with many people, God blesses us with children. And we try to teach them, teach them things and try to expose them to the Word of the Lord when they're just babies. And we raise them in faith. And we pray that God will save them. And I know at that time, when I spoke about when Brother Ronnie was about this age, I never really had the particular thought of standing one day to introduce his son to preach. But we train them up in the way they should go. We hold on to God's promise that when they're old, they won't depart from it. That those things will take seed. They'll find a place in their heart, and that God will be gracious enough to save them like he was us, with us. And that he will take them and use them for his honor and his glory. And I know when my children came into this world, I had a very, very special love for them and still do. I have fond memories of the first time that I ever saw them, each one of them, when they were born, the first time I ever looked at them. I have really fond memories of that. And I wouldn't have given them to anybody except for the Lord. I'll gladly give them to the Lord. I think oftentimes about what Hannah did. She just prayed and asked God if he would bless her with a child, she'd give him right back. And we need to be willing to give our children to the Lord. And so I want to ask Brother Luke to come at this time. And I love him and appreciate what he stands for. I've told the church here the last 4 or 5 years, I've been so blessed and so encouraged by so many of the young preachers I've heard, and God is really helping them, and I'm really thankful for that. And I believe that if God, the Lord, tarries and delays his coming, he's already called men that will grow and mature and be ready, to oversee the churches. Amen. Out in the future. God is already taking care of that. And so you pray for Brother Luke as he comes.
It's been good to be in the Lord's house again, and it's good just to have a little talk with Jesus every now and then. And I'm thankful for all of my many blessings. Thankful for getting to come this way again. I believe the first time I came and preached a message here was the second time I ever stood to preach. That was about 3 years ago. somehow the Lord still allowed me to preach His Word, and I'm thankful for that. There's nothing like getting up behind the sacred book board and just letting the Lord take control. There's nothing like it in the whole wide world. Wouldn't trade a thing for it. Wouldn't trade a thing for my salvation, even if I could. So it's the best feeling in the whole world. And I ask you all to pray for me tonight. The Lord's laid a little message upon my heart, and I'm really looking forward to Him preaching it to us for a little while. If you're here tonight and you don't know where you're going to spend eternity, I beg you to listen for a little while. If you're here tonight and you do know where you're going to spend eternity, I beg you to listen also. We're here to serve God. I'm glad that I don't know how to conduct the Lord's service. All I know how to do is follow His Spirit here tonight. If you have anything on your heart, if there's anyone here that feels the need to get up and stand and testify, so be it. Just let the Lord lead you tonight. I'm ready just to let God have His way and to let Him have free course with this service, because that's what we need. We need some old-fashioned praying and singing and preaching and shouting. We'd take all of it if the Lord will give it to us. In Matthew, in chapter 7, in verse 13, it says, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." That was reading from Matthew in chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. And I don't have a whole lot of reading scriptures upon my heart tonight, but you just bear with me and pray for me, and we'll just try and do as the Lord's got for us. I'd like you to think about this whole world. Think about all the surroundings around about you, and think about everything, how it's got a center, and how it's got something that is always in the very center of it. This room here, I guess that I'm standing in the center of it right now. You know, if you go to your home, there's a center, and if you look at any small little object and just about anything you can think of, there's going to be a center of something. What God has given us is that we need to have Him in the center of our lives. Amen. And He has placed us in a place when He saved our soul that we need to follow Him and stay in the straight gate. If you're here tonight and you're lost and you realize that God is going to be the one that's going to have to save you, we can try to preach to you and tell you the Word of God and point you to the Lamb of God, but we can't save you. This whole world would be saved. If I could save you, I'd be out just touching them right and left, saying you're saved, go on and be happy. And men try to do that, but that's not how I got it, and I've got it the true way. Not for me to boast or anything like that. But when I was a little 7-year-old boy, I bowed down and I got a heartfelt salvation. It wasn't of the mind. It wasn't of, that I bowed down. It wasn't that I gave anything up that I had to. I gave everything up. And what happened was I just said, "Lord, I don't know what else to do. You're going to have to be the one to save me." And you know what? God so graciously saved my soul, and I'm so thankful that He did. I'm thankful that I get to come into God's house and try and preach His Word from time to time. I'm thankful that when we come into God's house, we don't know what to expect, except that we know that if we pray and get our hearts right, God's going to give us a good old-fashioned service to where we can feel His presence. I'm so thankful that when I just sit here and I looked, and you know, we sometimes get in an order, in a set order of how the service is supposed to be conducted. But I believe that the service should be conducted by God Almighty Himself. And I'm so thankful that it's that away, that we have got one. This is a true church here, folks, that where we can come and have the Almighty God walking among us. I get a good picture from time to time. As the sister began to get up and stand and testify, I can see Jesus just walking among His people in the Lord's house, you know. We really don't see Him with our natural eyes, but I can tell you what, I can sure feel Him with my heart. And if you can't feel His Spirit, tonight, if you don't know that you're going to heaven one day after a while, I beg you to seek after God. Enter ye in at that straight gate. For if you go trying some other way, if you try to work your way into heaven, if you try to get a man to touch you and tell you you're going to heaven, or try to do something good and say, well, I've done all this, Lord, can I surely go on to heaven and hope that you make it? Well, I hope and pray you don't do that, but you enter in at the straight gate, and the door there is Jesus Christ. He said, I am the door, I am the way, the door, and the truth. I'm not sure exactly how that goes. Satan's really trying to tear us down, but that'll be all right. But I want to tell you, God said, enter in at the straight gate, and that's Jesus Christ. The only way that you'll be able to enter into heaven one day after a while is if you go through Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who came into this world and died on an old tree that He might bear this whole world's sins. And He did it. I can guarantee that because He lives in my soul. You may not be able to feel Him tonight. And if you're in a cold state and you're here and you've been saved and you know that you're not where the Lord wants you to be, we want you to get back in fellowship with God. We want you to get back on that straight path that you need to be on, you know. I believe that God's children, they can get out of fellowship with God. You won't ever lose your salvation because God's keeping it. Says that no man can pluck Him out of His Father's hand, not even yourself. I believe that. But I want to tell you, God, He wants to bless us. If you're here tonight and you just feel so cold and indifferent, if you can't feel God working with you tonight, if you can't feel the Spirit of God when we get up and you see that God's people testifying, when you bow down to pray and you don't feel God's presence, I beg you just to seek after God if you're saved, because we need you in the vineyard of God. We need you to work. We all need to strive to get closer to one another, to work together in this laboring field, the fields right now. If you look out, they're white with harvest. And the Lord's getting ready just in a little while to say, Jesus, go bring my children home. I just love that song. Just go bring my children home. Oh, how He's going to say, Son, go bring my children home. And you know, I'll get to go on to glory. But if you're unsaved, if you're not ready to go when Jesus comes back, or if you leave the walks of this life and die in the state that you're in, you're going to end up in hell, where there'll be fire and everlasting punishment. You won't ever get a bit of peace. You know, we've got water here, and you can have as much water as you want. You can buy it places, and it's free if you go to restaurants and things of that nature. But I want to tell you, in hell, there'll be no more water. There won't be a bit. You'll be in that place, and you'll have the worst pain and suffering. You know, just think about if you broke a bone in this life, or think about if you burned your finger or something like that, or stumped your toe, and it hurts so bad, and you just said, oh, it just hurts so bad. Just think about your worst time and your worst pain in this life, and multiply that by the biggest number you can get in your head, and it's still not the pain that you'll feel in hell. You'll be in such awful pain and torment that you'll never get a bit of peace. And I'm going to talk to you about that in just a little while. I'm so glad the Lord works everything out. I was just so worried and just so worried about how God was going to tie all this in together. But His ways are higher than my ways, and His thoughts are definitely higher than my thoughts. Go ahead and turn with me to Luke while I'm on this thought here. Luke chapter 16 and verse 19. Says, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, full of sores, and desired to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died, and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivedest thou good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now is he comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. You know, this is reading from Luke chapter 16, verses 19 through 31. And what it's saying is there was a rich man in this whole world, and this really did happen. I believe it with all my heart it did. That there was a man in this world, and he had so many riches. He was just living in the lap of luxury. He had, if you would picture a man today, it would be a man as Bill Gates or something of that nature, who has the best cars and the best houses, has all the riches that he can want in this life, and he has all these wonderful things in his lifetime, but he was just so caught up in his riches that he didn't get his heart right with God. But old Lazarus, he was all wanting to have the crumbs from his table. He just wanted a little crumb from the king's table. And he was so poor and just so pitiful that the dogs came and licked his sores. But you know, Lazarus, he got his heart right with God. He walked into that straight gate. He was walking through that straight gate, and he went to the door of heaven, and he went on to be in heaven after he died. But you know, that rich man, it's what he did was he was cast into hell, and he looked up to heaven and he said, Father Abraham, send Lazarus that he may dip his finger in some water and just let me get one drip of water that I might have a little bit of peace. But you know what? He couldn't do it. He couldn't do it. And when he was cast into hell, he saw them up there. He saw them up there having a great and grand time. And he looked up there and he said, oh, I wish I would have got my heart right with God at that time. Oh, I wish I would have just looked at Lazarus. And no doubt, I bet you that Lazarus was just a telling that rich man the way to go. I can almost certain that Lazarus was telling that rich man, you know, just seek after God. I still want you to be saved. And no doubt he lived his life for God, even though the rich man, you know, he was just sitting up there and he would look down at Lazarus and just say, oh, he's just so pitiful. I don't want to have anything to do with him. I'm so rich and so wealthy, and I'm such a great man. I don't want to have anything to do with him. Saved people, we need to get that out of our minds. If any of us are here tonight that think that we are better than anyone else in this whole world, we need to realize the place that we have came from and realize the sinner that we still are. We're still just dogs in God's eyes. We're still as filthy rags. And that's how I know that I am. I know that when I get up behind thy sacred book board of God, and I know that I am nothing. I know when I get done that that everything that's been said and done is of God, and this old boy had better been out of it. It doesn't have anything to do with me, and we need to realize that we don't need to gain any honor and glory out of coming into the Lord's house and trying to serve Him. God is the one that needs to be getting honor and glory out of all of it. And Lazarus, I'm sure sure he was just a praising the Lord's name, even though he was in that awful state. And us down here, we may have some trials and tribulations. We may be in trouble and not have the wealth and all the great things of this old world. I know I don't have a whole lot down here, but I want to tell you, I've got a mansion over the hilltop, and that's what I'm looking forward to one day after a while. I don't have a whole lot down here, and that's just fine and dandy with me, because I'm going to heaven one day after a while, because I'm going to be able to live in heaven in a place with such great peace, where there won't be any more pain and suffering, where we won't be worried about the cares of this whole world and about sinners going to hell, because we'll be in heaven and we'll be there for all eternity, forever and ever. And sinner friend, just the same as we'll be in heaven, you'll be in hell for all eternity, forever and ever. And just as this rich man was talking to Father Abraham, he said, "Oh, just if I could just have one drip of water, can you imagine how awful that'd be to just want one drip of water? That doesn't quench my thirst a bit. It just makes me want a little more water. It makes me want to get another drink, and then I'll be drinking a whole bottle of water, and then before you know it, I've drank two or three. But that's all right down here. We've got the water supply, and the Lord has blessed us with that. But in hell, you won't have a bit of water supply, as all you'll have is fire supply. You'll just have the fire just to quench in you, and it will never quench you completely. And you'll have the worms that begin to eat at your flesh. And you'll have so much dry pain and heat and suffering that you won't know what to do. You won't even be able to sweat, because there'll be no water in you. There'll be everything. And I believe that you'll still have all your senses. You'll be able to see all the other people and see yourself and see all those other people that are in that pain. It's one thing to see yourself in pain, but to see other people just a hurting as bad as you are, and maybe worse. That's an awful thing to see someone just sitting there in pain. I can't stand to see it. It just breaks my heart right now to see someone in such pain. But you know what? Jesus went through some pain and suffering for us. He went through it all for us. We need to try our best to work for God while we still can. Sinner friend, I don't want you to feel the pain and sufferings of hell. Jesus has already felt all the pain for you. He's already did it for you. I love the picture. It says that, I've heard it said that, we got a ticket. God gives every one of us a ticket. And it's a ticket to go to heaven, and that's through His grace. He's ready and willing to save everyone that's in this old world. But what we've got to do is go get that ticket punched. And I'm so thankful. Oh, I'm so thankful that I got mine punched a long time ago. And it was settled a long time ago. That old account was settled so long ago when I was down on my knees. I settled. Oh, He settled it all. He settled everything, all the pain and all the suffering. No matter how many things go wrong in my life, it doesn't matter a bit, because everything's already settled for me. The victory's already been won. I'm ready to go to heaven one day after a while. Everything is set before me. I'm ready to go. So if I leave this old world tonight before I step down from this pulpit, you don't worry about me. I'll be in heaven rejoicing and singing the praises evermore. I'll be up there with all the loved ones. And y'all don't have to weep for me a bit. I'd rather you rejoice, because I'm just going on to be with the Lord. Because I'll be rejoicing. I'll be shouting. Ooh, I get happy down here from time to time. And I'll begin to shout and jump up and down. But I tell you, when I get up there, we'll be able to shout as long as we want to. Never have to quit anymore. We'll be able to shout and sing and sing and sing some more. Oh, it's going to be such a grand and glorious time. But down in hell, it won't be so grand. You'll remember this night. If you don't get your heart right with God, if you don't seek after God with all your heart, if you don't seek after God, you'll remember this night. You'll remember that old preacher. He said, you better get your heart right with God while you've still got time. You'll remember that, and you'll be reminded of it over and over and over, saying, oh, I just wish I would have listened to what the Lord was saying to me by knocking upon my heart. I wish I would have listened. And you know what? God's not going to listen to you. He's going to say, depart from me. I never knew you. Hope to enter everlasting punishment. And it wasn't prepared for us. It wasn't prepared for us. It's not willed that any of us should perish, but that all should come to life eternal. But you know what? It was prepared for the devil and his angels. But that's where you'll end up if you're not ready to go. When God comes back, or if you drive down this old road and it's a pretty bad state right now, it's raining and there's puddles filling up all over the place, and you never know, it could just drop a few degrees and everything start freezing over and begin to snow and ice, and you know, you might be driving down the road and have a head-on collision or anything like that. I don't wish that on anybody. I'm just stating what could happen, because God can take us out at this very moment. We don't know what God is going to do. All we know is God can do it. He's the Almighty God in heaven above. I feel confident that He can do whatever He wants to with us. We're His children, the ones that are saved, and the ones that are not, you're Satan's children, and God can cast you off right into hell if He wants to, and He'll be just in that. You've heard the truth. God has blessed you to sit under the truth. You may have not heard it from this preacher many times, but when I get up to stand, I'm going to try my best to preach the truth to you, because I know that God will take me out at that very moment. But I'm not worried about Him taking me out. I'm more worried about Him taking my friends and my family and my loved ones. I'm more worried about them, the ones that aren't ready to go. God will humble you down if whatever He's got to do. If you're saved and God is knocking upon your heart to do something, if He's called you to preach, if He's telling you to get up and testify, to sing, you've got to follow God, because He'll humble you down one way or another. If He's got to take you out by doing it, He'll humble you down. And I'm just so thankful for all that God's done for me. I'm thankful for His liberty and His Spirit that feels so good inside. You know, you can't explain God's Spirit. I don't know how to explain it. I don't know how to explain what happened to me when I was a little 7-year-old boy. All I know to say is I know I'm saved. I know I'm going to heaven. I can't explain what happened. I can't explain what happened when God laid a heavy burden upon my heart to preach His Word. I can't explain what just happened right then when I began to preach God's Word. When God comes down and speaks through me, I can't explain how He does that. I don't know how God works. I don't know what He does. Is all I know is that He does. I know He works. And I know His Spirit works among His people. And we've got to pray that the conviction would set up in these hearts of the lost. Pray one for another. Pray for our preachers. We really don't pray for our preachers like we ought to. I'm talking to myself also. Our preachers are out here trying to preach God's Word, and the sin is so easily besetting us at every corner. There's so many preachers and so many of God's children that are falling right off. And it just breaks my heart to see God's children get out of fellowship with Him. They'll be riding on that boat and they'll just fall right off. But you know, God is still holding them in His hand. He's still got them. He's still ready for them to come back and say, Lord, I haven't been living right. I want to get back in fellowship with You. I want to serve You with all my heart. We got to want to serve the Lord. I want to serve Him. I want to see great things happen. But we've got to get our heart right with God. Amen. Thank You again for allowing me to come this way. Thank every one of you for coming out. It's good to see this many come out on a night like this, when the weather as it is and it's a Sunday night. It's hard. A lot of folks don't think you should come on Sunday night, but the Lord says, be in the Lord's house every time the doors are open. And He says for to come and be ready to serve Him. He just didn't say come and sit in your seat. He said to be ready to serve Him and do whatever He's got for you to do. But I'm thankful for all of our many blessings. I'm thankful for my family and my friends being able to come. I'm thankful for Whitney being able to come. You all pray for her. They have tried to warn her and say she might lose her job for coming to church on Sunday. But I don't care. Ooh, that's good to know that she's going to come to church. Doesn't matter what's going to happen. I feel the same way. You know, my boss is here tonight. But Tom, if I had to preach, if I had to work on Sunday, I just couldn't do it. I'd have to come into the Lord's house because it just feels so good. Feels so good to be able to come into the Lord's house on Sundays. And it feels good to be able to feel His presence the rest of the week too. Oh, I'm just so thankful for His many blessings. Thank you all for coming out. And again, just give everything back up to the good Lord that sent it. I beg you just to please don't give us old boy no praise. He don't deserve any of it. I know I'm undeserving of it all. I'm just so thankful again for God's presence. Thankful for the salvation of my soul. And just thank you all again for having me come out. And I'll turn the service back over to you, brother.